That was a long chapter, but I thought we should read it all because it's important that we hear what God's saying to us. Last week we read from Acts chapter 1, a call for us to get on board with what Jesus is doing in the world. Tonight we're going to focus on how that happens. Tonight we're introduced to the Holy Spirit. The chapter that we just heard read is all about why the Holy Spirit is essential if we want to get on board with what Jesus is doing in the world. Because if we want to hear the message of Jesus clearly, we need the Holy Spirit. At 9 o'clock church, one of the morning church services we have here in Bathurst, I often sit up the back there at the sound desk where Simeon is tonight, and I try and make sure the sound desk is all working properly and all of that stuff. But sometimes I forget to turn on the hearing loop. There's just a little switch under the desk for the hearing loop. You know, I think it's called a T-loop. It's for people with hearing aids. I definitely don't know how it works, but as far as I can tell, it sends out some sort of amplified signal, which is received by people who are using hearing aids, so that they can hear what's going on. But I forget to switch it on, and so sometimes someone has to get up out of their seat, go up the back there, and tell me to turn it on. And so I flick it on, and then everyone in the room who's using a hearing aid, of course, because I haven't had it on, they've got their hearing aid volume turned up full, and so I flick it on, and suddenly there's this big burst of sound coming through, and they all flinch, and they can suddenly hear what's going on. Well, if we want to be on board with what God's doing in the world through Jesus, we need to be able to hear what God's saying to us. But that's hard, you know, because we're hard-hearted people. We're sinful. Growing and changing in response to God's word is really hard work. And we know that trying to convince other people it's worth following Jesus is also hard. The idea that we need Jesus' death to set us free from our sin is a difficult thing to hear. But that's the gospel. That's what's going on. That's the gospel that's changing the world. So we need to make sure the hearing loop's on. We need to make sure we can hear what God's saying. Because if we can't hear, we're going to miss out. If we can't hear, then, you know, we're happily sitting here at church, but we're totally ignorant of what God's doing in the world. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our hearing loop. The first thing this chapter of Acts shows us is that the Holy Spirit has the power to enable the gospel to be heard. Wherever the gospel is heard, that's because the Holy Spirit is at work. Take a look with me at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Remember, this is the first believers who are gathered together just after Jesus ascended into heaven. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. This is obviously a miraculous event. You can tell it's significant by the way the Holy Spirit appeared. A sound, a huge sound. I imagine it would have been a bit like a low-flying aeroplane. I used to live in Sydney in the inner west, right under the flight paths in and out of Sydney Airport. because I didn't live in a suburb that was rich enough to get that changed. I don't know what was going on there. And when a plane came in low, you know, the sound would just drown out your conversation and the windows would shake. That's what I imagine it was like at Pentecost. And then on top of that, something that looked like fire came down and rested on them. The reason this is significant is because Israel used to be deaf. A lot of the prophets in the Old Testament, for example, Isaiah, you can read in Isaiah chapter 42, you can look that up later. Isaiah said, "Come on, Israel, listen, you're deaf and you're blind. You're not hearing what God's saying to you." So this moment when the Spirit comes to all the Jews, all these Jews who've gathered from all these different places, this is the moment when the nation of Israel finally hears. They finally hear God speaking to them. They finally hear the amazing things God's done. Remember Theophilus. I'm going to mention Theophilus quite a few times in the next few weeks. Because if we understand why Luke wrote this stuff in Acts to Theophilus, that's going to go a long way to helping us understand what it means for us. Theophilus had heard what God had done because he'd read Luke's gospel already. And the way the gospel's going to be heard is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Luke's telling Theophilus that he's heard the gospel because the Holy Spirit's been at work in him. This moment at Pentecost is the moment the Spirit is sent to make sure the gospel keeps on getting heard. And it starts here in Jerusalem and Judea, where the Jews are, and then later it spreads out to Samaria and then to the ends of the earth, which is figurative for all the nations further out, which is where Theophilus would have heard it. And of course, since then, it's made its way all the way here to Bathurst. The Holy Spirit is like God's megaphone. It makes sure the message goes out loud and clear. The people who shared the gospel with us, they didn't do a perfect job, but the Spirit made sure we got the message. When we share the gospel, we'll never do a perfect job. But the Spirit makes sure the message is loud and clear. And that's how the gospel spreads. Wherever the gospel reaches, it reaches there because the Spirit takes it. This chapter of Acts has caused a lot of debate and confusion for a very long time. People ask questions like, what does it mean for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And when does it happen? And if Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit, should we all be able to speak foreign languages? And those are good questions. They're really good questions. Fortunately for us, we're not the first people to be confused by this. People were just as confused at the time. Take a look at verse 12. It says, "The Jews were amazed and perplexed, and they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' And of course, there was others who mocked them." And so Peter stands up and he clarifies with them what it means in verse 16. Take a look at verse 16. He says, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit and they'll prophesy." See, these people, they didn't expect the Spirit to be poured out on everyone. But it was poured out on everyone. Sons and daughters, young people, old people, servants, it was everyone. The Holy Spirit isn't some sort of booster shot you get after becoming a Christian. It's not something that only super Christians have or anything like that. It's not something that comes just to keep you excited about being a Christian. Since Pentecost has already happened, being filled with the Spirit's a normal part of life for all Christians. Because we've heard the gospel, haven't we? If we've heard the gospel, that means the Spirit's been at work in us. The Spirit doesn't sit back and relax once we have heard the gospel. Remember, Theophilus is being told to get on board with what Jesus is doing, that is, proclaiming the gospel. The kingdom is growing. The news that Jesus is king is spreading. That's why when the Spirit's poured out, people start to prophesy. And we usually think of prophesying as predicting the future. But prophets in the Bible, like Joel, who Peter is quoting here, they didn't so much predict the future. What they really did was they listened to what God said, and then they told others. The Spirit was poured out on them. And back before Jesus, it was only a handful of guys like Joel or Isaiah who could prophesy. But now the Spirit's been poured out on everyone. It's been poured out on everyone who's heard the gospel. So we can all prophesy. If we know the truth of the gospel, then we can tell others about it. The Spirit enables us to do that. The Spirit's very indiscriminate. It's happy to grow the gospel in us. It's happy to grow the gospel in others. In fact, it wants to do both. It's interesting, isn't it, how here in Acts so far, in the two chapters we've read, all the people who hear the gospel always tell the gospel. Those two seem to go hand in hand. If we're Spirit-filled people, then we should be doing both. So are we Spirit-filled people? Yeah, if we know what Jesus has done for us, we absolutely are. Should we expect to be able to speak French? Probably not. Although that would be cool, because that would mean we wouldn't have to listen to every announcement twice in the opening ceremony of the next Olympics. God could do that, I'm sure, but we should expect the ability to share the gospel, because the Spirit enables the gospel to be heard. We need to hear the gospel. We need to listen and be saved by Jesus our Saviour. The second thing this chapter tells us is that the Spirit and the gospel, when they work together, they're a combination that cuts to the heart. Now take a look at verse 36. Verse 36 says, "Let all Israel be assured of this, God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Peter had confidence in the Spirit's ability to make the gospel heard. But it's not just heard, is it? It gets taken to heart. Just in case we thought what the Spirit did was just a comprehension thing, it's much deeper than that. It's not just a head thing, it's also a heart thing. Because have a look at verse 23, have a glance at that. The people Peter's talking to, they despise Jesus. They despised him so much, they killed him. These were hard-hearted people we're talking about here. But Peter knows the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can cut people to the heart and change them. See, what Peter's done is just explain the gospel. Have a look through with me and see what Peter's done. In verse 22, he told them Jesus was sent by God. In verse 23 and 24, he told them Jesus died and defeated death. In verse 25 through to 29, he told them God made Jesus a greater king even than David was. And in verse 36, he sums it all up. And he says, "Let all Israel be assured of this, God made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." He's just explained the gospel to them, plain and simple. And verse 37 says, "When they heard this gospel, they were cut to the heart." And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't Peter who cut them to the heart, it was the Spirit. In fact, because of the Holy Spirit working in combination with the gospel, 3,000 people came into God's kingdom that day. That's amazing. I met a guy once. He was a multi-millionaire. He had a business that operated in a bunch of countries in Asia. He was a Christian, and he said to me, I'm just not cut out to share the gospel. I can't do it. It's for other people. I just don't have the gift. I give generously to church because I can, but that's all I can do. Now, giving generously to church is awesome, especially when you're a millionaire. If the church uses that money right, it definitely helps spread the news of Jesus. But this guy was wrong. He was so wrong. There's no such thing as a Christian who's not cut out to share the gospel. We all have the Spirit. We've all heard the gospel. We have everything we need to get on board with growing Jesus' kingdom. Now look at what Peter says in verse 32. He says, God's raised Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. We've been cut to the heart ourselves. We've felt that need for forgiveness. And we've found that forgiveness in Jesus. Every one of us, whether we're 5 or 50, whether we're popular or the most awkward person around, there's no limitation on what the Spirit can do in us, and there's no limitation on what the Spirit can do through us. So if you've ever been scared about sharing the gospel, don't be. People aren't cut to the heart because of the great things we say. They're cut to the heart through the power of God's Spirit. That's the way people discover Jesus. That's the way people grow in their maturity in Christ. We might plant the seed and we might water it, but it's the Spirit that makes the response happen. God grows it. We speak the word, but the Spirit makes the response happen. It can happen individually, you know, one-on-one, having a chat with someone. It can happen in large groups, like here at Night Church. It can happen, over the fence with a neighbour. It can happen over dinner. It can happen over supper after night church. It can happen at school or at BCS or at the pub. It can happen at small group Bible study during the week. It can happen at footy training. There's really limitless places it can happen, but it's really always the same thing happening. It's always Spirit-backed gospel sharing that's leading to people's salvation and leading to Jesus' kingdom growing. The third thing this chapter tells us about the Spirit is that, combined with the gospel, the Spirit builds church. Our church here is built up, and it grows and it stays healthy by the Holy Spirit and the gospel working together in us. Have a look at verse 42. This is an amazing description of church. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is actually the first real description of church in the Bible. And given what we've read in Acts so far, it's hardly surprising what this community is centred around. The first thing you notice is they're centred around the apostles' teaching, as in they're centred around the gospel. And they're devoted to each other. They're interested in what the gospel's doing in each other's lives. They're devoted to prayer because they want to understand what God's doing in them. And they're all filled with awe at what the Spirit's doing. Luke describes this community as the ideal church. They're the ideal church because they focus on the gospel and they focus on the Spirit's work. And the result is that within the church, they build each other up. And outside the church, people are impressed, and every day people are joining them. I think that church is a bit more like TAFE than it is like university. Now, I'm not saying here that university is not useful. I did it myself. But you go to uni for 3 or 4 years and you learn all this stuff and you get a job and you discover that what you learned at uni was really only a platform for then learning how to work. Whereas you go to TAFE and the things you do in class are exactly the same skills you use on the job. The gospel that we speak to each other here at church is the same gospel we speak to people outside church. The same Spirit does the same job in people's lives. And that's the job of cutting people to the heart with the gospel. A healthy, growing church is one that listens to God, one that hears and then obeys. A real Christian community, it's a gospel focus that reveals God to the world. That's what our church here in Bathurst can be like. All we have to do is keep on relying on the power of the Holy Spirit when we speak the gospel. Now, here at Night Church, you know, we do a great job of that. But we can always do better. I know I can do better. I need to constantly remind myself of the Spirit's power to wield the gospel. He can do amazing things with it. And, you know, we just want to be a part of that. So don't ever doubt the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, let's pick up our Bibles during the week and read them and brace ourselves for what the Spirit will do. You know, we're Spirit-filled witnesses of the gospel. And church, when we gather here, is the climax of our lives lived together in the power of the Holy Spirit. This first church that Luke describes was a community of witnesses. And we can be a community of witnesses too. In fact, we are a community of witnesses because we have the ultimate weapon. We have the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. Let's pray that the Spirit cuts people to the heart here in Bathurst. Let's pray. Lord God, thanks for what you're doing here in Bathurst through Jesus. Please use your Spirit to cut us to the heart with the gospel message we desperately need. And God, when we see how the message of salvation in Jesus convicts us of our sin and shows us how guilty we are before you, and then changes our lives and gives us hope for eternity, God, please give us the courage to trust the Holy Spirit to use us to tell this same great news to other people. And Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus, who the Holy Spirit revealed to us. Amen.